mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, the arrival of freezing temperatures and sub-freezing wind chill readings means cold and flu season is here. Now is the time to prepare for what's ahead. Also this morning, criminals and hackers are constantly becoming more sophisticated. Google is out with their cybersecurity outlook for the coming year. We'll take a look at what the emerging threats are. November is Entrepreneurship Month. Do you have what it takes to turn that dream into reality? A new video game gives players a risk-free way to give it a go. And happening around town, it's a great way to burn off some calories before the big feast. We have details on the 14th annual Turkey Trot on Thanksgiving morning. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, November 21st, 2024.
Christmas. By the way, speaking of looking a lot like Christmas, the holiday right around the corner, saw this on the Newswire this morning and I thought, how dare they? How dare they? The story says, fans of the perennial Christmas classic, A Christmas Story. Remember the story of Ralphie and his Red Ryder BB gun? The fans of A Christmas Story have a place to stay in Oklahoma. Ralphie's Christmas house stands near a 50-foot-tall replica of the famous leg lamp that was built in Chickasaw, Oklahoma, to draw visitors. Ralphie's Christmas house in Chickasaw, Oklahoma. How dare they? We know that this is in Cleveland, right? We know that the actual house from the movie is in Cleveland. Everyone knows this. What are they doing in Chickasaw, Oklahoma, trying to horn in on our claim to Christmas fame in the Buckeye State? This is a two-story Airbnb that was built in 1930 and remodeled over the past couple of years. It has four bedrooms, can sleep up to 10. You can actually Google Ralphie's house online to make reservations and see pictures. But this is not Ralphie's house. That's in Cleveland. Don't we know this? It's a fraud. They are perpetrating a fraud on fans of A Christmas Story and renting it out on Airbnb. I think someone needs to do something. I think we need to call in the federal authorities or something. Get this shut down because this cannot stand, people. This cannot stand. Some of the other, here's another item, and I think this is kind of interesting. It's holiday related. If you are hosting a holiday gathering here for Thanksgiving or later on for Christmas here in a few weeks, those who are buying wine for your holiday gatherings can now pick up a bottle with a slice at Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut is launching a limited edition pizza wine. Pizza wine with notes of tomato, it says here. Which, I mean, I'm not the biggest wine connoisseur. I'll have a glass or two of wine with my wife, and we'll visit wineries and do wine tastings. And, you know, it's just something fun to do with my wife. I'm not a huge wine drinker, though. So I don't claim to be anything close to an expert. But pizza wine with notes of tomato just doesn't sound particularly intriguing to me. I'm sorry, I'm not really interested, but if you are, there you go, you can get it from Pizza Hut. On top of that, they are bringing back their triple treat box for just under $20 at select locations. I don't know, pizza wine, a hint of tomato. Okay. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started. Are you traveling for the holiday season? Maybe next week you are traveling for Thanksgiving, or again, maybe Christmas, what have you. Big travel season. And this is specifically for those who will be flying, particularly flying across multiple time zones to visit friends and or family at some point during the holiday season. A recent study published in iScience describes what happens to the body when we fly. If you've ever had jet lag, this is interesting stuff. Researchers recruited a little more than a dozen participants and shifted their daily schedules by 5 hours. Now, that would be Like what happens if you were to fly from here to Iceland. It would be a 5-hour difference. Within the continental United States, it's at most a 3-hour difference, but you get the idea. After the shift in their daily schedules to simulate jet lag, participants in the study showed slower digestion, changes in their blood sugar levels, and altered fat metabolism. Melatonin patterns adjusted at a rate of over 1 hour per day. So the lead author of the study, Jonathan Johnston, says even a small time shift can impact many aspects of one's metabolism. By optimizing our sleep and eating patterns, we can improve our overall well-being. So basically what they're saying is, in preparation for your travels, like a few days before, start adjusting when you get up, when you go to bed, when you have your meals, and so on, to adjust to the schedule at your destination, and the effects of jet lag will be less noticeable because you've given your body time to adapt. Not bad advice there. A lot of Americans are traveling. 23% of us traveled more this year than we thought we would. This is according to a new survey of 2,000 adults. 23% of Americans traveled more in 2024 than they initially thought they would. 43% of respondents traveled as much as they planned to. 34% of us went on a road trip at some point this year. 18% took a multi-generational family trip. I'm traveling with the parents, the grandparents, and so on. 17% traveled during the off season, so outside of the typical summer or holiday travel seasons. And looking ahead to 2025, 1 in 7 travelers already have over $5,000 saved for a future trip. Wow. 1 in 7. I am not one of the 1 in 7. I do not have that. I like to travel. Not real good at saving up for travel. With Americans planning to travel just as much or even more in 2025, despite rising travel costs, accessibility and affordability more important than ever. Survey commissioned by Club Wyndham, the hotel chain. Interesting. And a couple of other items here among the first things you need to know this morning. You knew this was going to happen. A Florida man is now taking legal action against Netflix in connection with the recently live-streamed fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Ronald Denton, Hillsborough County, Florida, has filed a class-action lawsuit against Netflix after alleged issues during the event on Friday night. He claims Netflix breached its contract when viewers were unable to watch the fight because of buffering and streaming issues. Thousands of people have complained about facing similar problems. As a class action on behalf of all of them, Netflix has, for their part, called the streaming event a success, and they said only a handful of people out of the 60 million who were tuning in experienced problems. But if you were one of the handful, or roughly 90,000, it was incredibly frustrating. So no comment from Netflix on the lawsuit. And this is big news. See what you think. You can make of this what you will. But Cambridge Dictionary is out with their 2024 Word of the Year. This is, again, another one of those. This time, you know, we get into the last few weeks of the year, we get all of these year-end lists and designations. And the Word of the Year, the Cambridge Dictionary, manifest. Manifest is the Word of the Year. Now, the Cambridge Dictionary, obviously a British dictionary publisher, they define manifesting as the practice of using methods such as visualization and affirmation to help one imagine achieving something that you want in the belief that doing so will make it more likely to happen. So, manifest or manifesting is the Word of the Year 2020. This is according to the Cambridge Dictionary. All of the others, the Oxford Dictionary and Webster's will come out with theirs. And so it'll be interesting to compare all of the thought processes of how they determine their word of the year. But for the Cambridge Dictionary, manifest, the word of the year. What do you think? I have not used, I don't think I've used, that may be the first time I've used the word manifest in 2024. So, you know, for me, I don't know that that's, I would necessarily agree. But, you know, your mileage may vary, I guess. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Some snow showers possible today with a high in the mid-30s. A chance of a snow-rain mix tonight, a low around 30. A man was arrested after a Hancock County Drug Task Force executed a search warrant at his residence in Arlington. Authorities say the search of the residence on Cumberland Street yielded suspected methamphetamine and suspected prescription pills, as well as drug paraphernalia. Additionally, multiple items indicative of drug trafficking were also seized. Authorities say the 38-year-old will face charges of drug trafficking in a school zone and possession of drugs at the conclusion of the investigation. Get more in the story on our website. Ohio Democrat Marcy Kaptur will extend her tenure as the longest-serving woman in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Kaptur, who represents Northwest Ohio's 9th District, won another term in the U.S. House, defeating Republican State Representative Derek Marin. The outcome emerged from final results certified by the Lucas County Board of Elections. On election night, the Associated Press said the race was too early to call, despite Kaptur declaring victory. Final results were slightly outside of the 0.5% margin that would have triggered an automatic recount.
ONN's Kate Burdett reporting. It's that time of the year when you really need to keep your eyes peeled for deer on the roadways.
A manager at a Tiffin body shop says he is seeing drivers come in every day with damage to their cars.
Typically in a deer collision, we don't see bodily injury, just property damage to the vehicle. Drive through it, hit the brakes, try and slow down as much as you can, and always be on the lookout because if there's one, there's more.
WTOL 11's Melissa Andrews reporting, Hancock County is a top three county in the state when it comes to deer car crashes. The city mission of Findlay is inviting everyone to attend its upcoming gala in support of the city mission. A night of glitz, glitter, and jazz will be held on Friday night, December 6th at the Findlay Inn and Conference Center. The event will include live and silent auctions. Get more details on the gala and the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So we've been talking this week about protecting yourself from scams, fraud, and theft during the holiday season because the bad guys don't take time off. In fact, they're even more prevalent this time of year. And experts say that as we look ahead to the coming year, cyber criminals and hackers will become even more sophisticated. Charles Carmackle is the chief technology officer of Mandiant Consulting, the security consulting organization of Google Cloud. The Google Cloud security team is out with its cybersecurity forecast for 2025. Charles, tell us more.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. So what we do every year is we take a look at the past 12 months of cyber attacks and threats and campaigns, and it helps us anticipate what we might see in the coming year. And so when I think about the most significant security threats that we should anticipate in 2025, it really boils down to three areas. Number one, we're going to continue to see attacks against companies from a extortion and a ransomware perspective. Number two, as geopolitical tensions increase between the United States and other countries, we could expect to see more attacks against individuals as well as corporations. And third, AI has been great for so many folks. It helps individuals, but it also helps the adversaries. And the adversaries are coming up with clever ways to leverage AI to convince people to believe things that aren't true. And they're doing that by creating deep fakes or synthetic voices or otherwise inauthentic media that they've been flooding social media with to help perpetuate scams and to convince people to provide information to them that they shouldn't provide to the attackers.
You know, it's interesting. I know you've been doing this for some 20 years, and obviously much has changed over the course of the past two decades. Talk a little bit about some of the trends that you see today and how they compare to years past vis-a-vis cybercrime.
Yeah. So from a criminal perspective, if you think what motivated criminals a decade ago, it's very different than what motivates them today or the way they actually orchestrate their attacks. So 10 years ago, the big threat, especially around the holidays, was the threat of credit card theft. So threat actors breaking into merchants or organizations to steal credit card details that have been either swiped at a point of sale system at a store or typed into a website. Over the past several years, threat actors still are interested in credit card data, but the threat has really shifted to attacking a company, disrupting business operations, stealing a wide variety of data from those organizations, but then extorting them, asking them for, say, $5 million or $15 million or $25 million to get a tool to recover their systems, as well as for a promise to not publish the data on the internet that was stolen. So there's a shift away from credit card theft to kind of stealing everything and then disrupting business operations.
So that data being stolen is not the end game itself, but a means to an end in a larger, broader scheme.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's unfortunately so many organizations that feel like they have no other option but to pay a threat actor during a very significant event like this.
Well, and that kind of leads to the next point that we want to talk about. The more sophisticated the attacks and the more sophisticated the tactics for those attacks, the more sophisticated the response has to be. So how can individuals and organizations protect themselves from these types of cyber attacks that we're more likely to see moving forward?
Yeah, so let's start with just the everyday individuals. There's a few things that we recommend they do. The first thing is we recommend that they use a password manager so that when they provide passwords to websites, they're setting a unique password for each one of those websites. Because the risk associated with using the same favorite password across so many different websites is if somebody is able to break into a website and steal your username and password, there's a really good chance that that same username and password will work on your bank accounts or your social media accounts. And so it's really important that people have different passwords, but you can't remember every password for every website, so it's good to use a password manager. The second thing that individuals should do is they should turn on multi-factor authentication for every website that has it available, which is essentially requiring not only a username and a password, but also a secondary form of identification to prove that it's actually you logging into the website. So it might be a code that's texted to your phone or a pop-up that comes up on your phone or your computer that you approve. From a corporation and enterprise perspective, corporations need to do things like make sure that they patch their software, make sure they've trained their employees to be aware of the scams and the attacks that are coming out there, turning on multi-factor authentication to allow remote access to environments.
You know, you were touching on this earlier, and this is one of the parts that I find the most fascinating about this report. We have often heard about how the bad guys are using AI in pursuing their schemes, but turnabout is fair play. AI is also being used to help catch cyber criminals.
Absolutely. So, look, with any new technology, adversaries will take advantage of it and abuse it to the best of their ability. The good news is, though, you know, organizations like Google and many other technology and security companies have been leveraging AI for so many years to help identify malicious emails, to identify malware and viruses on computers, to identify scams and to actually catch deep fakes that are created through AI as well. And we think that defenders actually have the advantage today from an AI perspective. And that might change at some point in the future. But what I'm seeing from an AI perspective and just how it's helped me from my daily life as well as from a cybersecurity perspective is AI is helping me become much more effective and more efficient in my day-to-day life as well as identifying cyber threats.
Again, Charles Carmichael is the Chief Technology Officer of Mandiant Consulting, the security consulting organization of Google Cloud, out with their cybersecurity forecast for 2025. Where do folks go to learn more about what's in the report and kind of pore over all of this data here?
Go to the Google Cloud Security website to find our forecast report and to see what we believe the top threats are for 2025.
we can no longer afford, if we ever have been able to, we certainly now can no longer afford to assume that it's not going to happen to us, that it's going to happen to somebody else, if at all. This is real. It is everywhere. It's very pervasive, and everyone has to take it seriously. Charles Carmichael, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Well, in case you didn't already know, November is National Entrepreneurship Month, and in support of budding entrepreneurs, a new video game produced by the Singleton Foundation for Entrepreneurship and Financial Literacy offers young people a hands-on opportunity to experience kind of the highs and lows of entrepreneurship in a risk-free setting, which is kind of cool. It is called Venture Valley, and joining us is its executive producer, Nick Knight. Nick, where did you come up with the idea of using a video game to teach entrepreneurial skills, and how does this work? Kind of lay this out for us.
Well, that's great. Thanks for having me on the show. The Singleton Foundation about 5 years ago kind of set out on a mission to bring, you know, entrepreneurship and financial literacy to young people, and they knew they had to have those conversations in a way that they weren't just going to check out. You know, you can't just lecture to them, right?
So,
how do you do that? Well, they're playing video games. That's the medium. And what's great about video games, they get a lot of bad press sometimes, but the actual thing is it's a hands-on way to experience something. And so we came up with this game, which was, you know, let them build a business, operate a business, and compete against other businesses, just like in the real world. How do you sell more coffee than that guy across the street? You know, it's all of those kind of lessons. And it's experiential, and it's a lot of fun at the same time.
So when I think of, we talk about targeting young people and introducing them to these concepts and these skills, when we say young people, I immediately start thinking about like high school age. But I understand you have traveled the country here recently, hosting game events at like MIT and Boston University and other universities. What is the target audience here for this?
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. So our game is really accessible from a wide range of ages. We've had as young as middle schoolers playing the game successfully, all the way up to adults, of course. And we do a lot of these, what are technically like an esports style tournament, a business game tournament at universities all around the country, including Boston. Last week we were there. We had students from MIT, from Harvard, from Boston University playing and competing for cash prizes. To be the best entrepreneur in the Valley.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, we're talking about some pretty prestigious institutions, you know, Boston University and MIT and Harvard. And so to think that this is somehow inherent in certain groups of individuals, obviously these are skills that you want to introduce to a wide range of people. And you know, it kind of shatters the myth that some people are more naturally attuned to this sort of thing for whatever reason.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people, you know, don't consider starting their own business. And the perception is that would be really hard. They don't know enough about how to do it.
But, right.
You know, we really want to make sure that people understand, you know, anybody can start a business, you know, and you this gives you kind of a risk-free way to go in there and explore business strategies and understand how it works. How do you compete against somebody? You know, you're learning about terminology, you're learning about marketing and research and development and, you know, everything down to like, how much should I pay my employees? You know, one of the great takeaways we had last week in Boston was that students coming up and telling us that, oh, you know what I found out is if I pay my employees more, they'll do a better job.
Yeah. And, you know, not only that instilling that mindset that, yes, you can do it. Conversely, you are not as I don't want to say ignorant, but you are not less well versed on any of these skills than anyone else. So it's not like, oh, you know, I just don't know enough. Nobody knows enough when they start out.
Absolutely. You know, the whole point of making a startup company or being an entrepreneur generally is that you have an idea that nobody else had and you want to take it to the marketplace. And so how could somebody else know more about how to do that than you? So, yeah, we really are encouraging them to take your idea, you know, start doing the work to materialize it and get it out in front of people and, you know, change your life.
So you were talking about some of the feedback that you're getting from the students about the game and these events that you've been hosting as you were talking about. What about translating that to the real world? What are the students telling you about how they're bringing these skills that are being imparted through the game into the real world?
Yeah, we actually, that's a great question, because we had a lot of feedback just even last week, a lot of feedback from the players. One of the things they realized was that, because it's a competitive game and you're building a business that's similar to somebody else and you're trying to achieve a goal. And, it's one of those things where you have to try to out business them. So you have to make a lot of quick business decisions. And sometimes you have to pivot in your strategy. Maybe you had your price too high and now you're not selling enough units, but the goal is to sell as many units as possible. So you have a lot of things to consider. And we even had students come up to us, literally students, that were at these prestigious universities, as you said, that didn't really know before the term COGS, which is cost of goods sold, or R&D, which is research and development. You know, new ideas to them, but, they thought the game was very educational in that sense. And we also had a lot of students come up and tell us that, they're thinking about maybe starting their own business someday. So that was great.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. I mean, how does this influence someone's opinions about or likelihood, opinions about entrepreneurship or their likelihood to become entrepreneurs? I mean, I would guess that that's a big part of the goal here in creating this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that the game accomplishes is it takes away the fear factor. It makes it fun. It's actually fun to have your own business and start up your own business. So we had a lot of students that kind of, played the game, and they play it for hours and hours at these tournaments, and they kind of walk away kind of going, wow, this has really made me think maybe I can start my own business someday. They get excited about the idea. We did a Dubbit research on the game, and we found out that nearly 75% of the players who play the Venture Valley, they believe it's possible for them to become an entrepreneur after playing the game. And that's a really great takeaway.
Well, especially since, and how many times we said it on the program, we know that small businesses are kind of the backbone of the American economy. They don't always get the attention necessarily, but communities large and small would not be what they are without these small entrepreneurs and these small startups. Again, the game is called Venture Valley. And is this available to everyone? Do people have to be at one of these events, or how do folks learn more about this?
Yeah, so Venture Valley is 100% free to play for everybody. There's no in-app purchases, there's no ads. It's just a gift from the Singleton Foundation to get people excited about business and entrepreneurship. You can get it at any of the app stores that you normally get games. So it's available on Apple and Android devices. It's also available on Mac and PC through the Steam platform.
Okay.
Or you can just go to VentureValleyGame.com. All the links are there.
Cool idea. Worth checking out. Again, Nick Knight is the executive producer of Venture Valley for the Singleton Foundation for Entrepreneurship and Financial Literacy. Nick, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having us. I appreciate it.
So all of a sudden, it appears as though winter has arrived. Though how much snow you got overnight depends on where you are. I live the north side of town, and it seems like I got a little bit more snow in my yard than we did here at the studios on the opposite end of Findlay. But it does appear we've got... most places got at least a dusting or a little bit of snow this morning, and wind chills. It's right at the freezing mark, temperature-wise, right at the freezing mark. Wind chills are down in the mid-20s this morning, and we told you all week that this was going to be the coldest morning of the season thus far, and that perhaps we would get our first snowflake sightings, so don't say that you weren't warned about this. And with Thanksgiving just days away and the shorter Christmas shopping season this year, ain't nobody got time to get sick. So, given that we are getting that first taste of winter this morning, now is the time. This is Mother Nature's way of telling us that now is the time to stock up to stay well through cold and flu season, which is now upon us, I guess. Wellness expert Amy Hess is with us this morning. Thanks for taking the time, Amy.
Thanks for having me. Doesn't it feel like cold and flu season kind of takes us by surprise every year? And it's like, it's coming. It's always coming. And so as a mom, I can tell you, preparation is 99% of the game, right? Like, it is just so important to think ahead, because when your family's already sick, is not the time to be researching, oh, what's the best latest medication that I want to be giving to my family? Okay, now I got to drive to the pharmacy to go get it.
Right.
Uh-uh, too late. You got to have it in your medicine cabinet now.
You are a perfect example of someone who can't afford to be sick. I mean, you are a speaker, public speaker, obviously media personality. You do a lot of talking as part of your job, as do I. So what is your go-to remedy for those sore throats that we can get this time of year, kind of that first symptom of a cold coming on?
Okay, I'm going to give you my magic trade secret here. This is my go-to right now. Mucinex Instasoothe, and it's their throat lozenges, and I go nowhere without them. So they have great flavors. I love they have a new honey, sugar-free mixed berry. My husband loves the honey and echinacea. My son loves the elderberry. He's 9 years old, and it's good for kids six and up. So it's like a family thing for us. And it's funny, you know, I'll tell you this funny story. My mom is a TV journalist, Joan London, right? So she's in the same line of work, or I'm in the same line of work that she was.
Yeah.
She hosted Good Morning America for almost 20 years. And I remember growing up, my sisters and I used to tease her because I have this visceral memory of her always having a purse full of lozenges. She never went anywhere without lozenges. But I totally get it now, because when you're somebody who uses your voice, and by the way, you could be a media personality, or you could just be somebody who's on Zooms, or you could just be a mom. We're all using our voice for a living, right? We can't afford to be set back with a really bad sore throat. So I need something at arm's length that's going to numb pain fast and provide that relief.
You are not alone in that. I don't have a purse, but I have in my backpack that same collection of all of those quick fixes. You know, this is, like you say, we all are busy, especially this time of year, whether we're just talking about, you know, our regular parenting stuff, or whether it has to do with our job or what have you, or both. You also talk about lifestyle habits, I guess, for lack of a better term, that we can incorporate to stay well and stay energized during the colder months, with cold and flu season, and just with the winter blahs.
The winter blahs, aren't they the worst? Here's the thing. I'm a wellness expert for a living, and I'm the first to admit that my routine tends to go out the window as soon as the weather gets cold. It's cold outside, so it's hard to want to take a walk. They get dark so early, right? So it's tough. So I have three quick tips for your listeners.
Okay.
Number one, and this is something everybody can do, okay? Getting outside in the morning and getting sunlight in your eyes. Now, it seems so trivial, but, and I know there's probably a lot of commuters listening, but there's also a lot of people that might be tuned in that work from home. And a lot of us are forgetting how important it is as human beings to get actual sunlight in your eyes in the morning. And the reason is because it regulates your circadian rhythm, and that is your body's sleep-wake cycle. So this is all part of staying well, right? Having better sleep quality and then alertness during the day will add to your vitality. Thing number two is about having an accountability partner. And that's based, for me, that's based around physical fitness. I can tend to get a little bit lazy, I'll admit it, in the winter. You know, I get home and I was going to do that 6 p.m. workout, but it's dark and I'm like, maybe I'll snuggle up on the couch. When you have that accountability buddy and you sign up for that class at the gym together, you're going to go. Studies show that you're going to go, and studies also show that when you maintain that commitment to physical fitness, you can stave off seasonal depression. And then the third and final thing is making hygiene the main character in your household. You got to talk to your kids about hand washing. I know we all have a little bit of fatigue after the last 4 years of, like, you know, hand washing and social distancing. But here's the deal, my friends. It's like when your kids come home, they are little germ factories. And so you got to tell them washing their hands and staying away from friends, 6 feet away from their friends who are exhibiting signs of cold and flu, is the first way that you can maybe keep those germs out of your own household.
All great advice for the winter season, to avoid the seasonal illnesses, colds and flu, and, you know, all of that. But also, just like we said, to stave off the winter blues, the blahs, that kind of, you know, lethargic feeling that we all get this time of year. Again, lifestyle expert and wellness expert Jamie Hess. Jamie, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
As we always say, sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. Did you see the video of this? It is really amazing. An investigation is underway after an ATM machine was stolen from a bank in Toledo. The incident happened Monday at the Toledo Urban Federal Credit Union on Monroe Street when thieves used a skid steer to knock the ATM off of its foundation and then load it onto a truck. And the video is amazing. This is one of those freestanding ATM machines, like at the drive through at the bank. It's not one that's like built into the wall of the bank. It's a freestanding self-contained machine. And they get this skid steer, and they had to ram into it a couple of times, knocked it over, and then they picked it up and loaded it into the truck. Now, it turns out that both the skid steer and the truck were also found to be stolen, which actually makes a lot of sense. If you're going to use a skid steer to steal an ATM, you're not going to be dumb enough to rent it where they can trace it back to you. So that kind of makes sense. But it does seem like an awful lot of effort went into planning this just to steal an ATM machine. I don't know how much money these things carry or how much they hold. I know it's a lot of money, but this is a federal crime. This is stealing from a bank. So they're going to be, when they find out who did it, and they'll find out who did it, they'll figure this out. Somebody's going to be in a lot of trouble for stealing a few thousand dollars from ATM. Not just the money, stealing the entire machine. Toledo, that's crazy. Again, if you haven't seen the video, look it up. It is pretty amazing. Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news here this morning, worshippers at St. Peter's Church in Switzerland have installed, are you ready for this? An AI-powered Jesus. It is a hologram of our Lord and Savior powered by artificial intelligence. That has been installed at St. Peter's Church in Switzerland to take confessions. Really? They installed it to take confessions. The project is called Deus in Machina, allows parishioners to voice their concerns and receive absolution from AI Jesus. AI Jesus. One person, after leaving the confessional, said, "I was surprised, but I have to admit, it was very easy, and even though it's a machine, it gave me so much good advice." Alrighty then. The AI Jesus was built and programmed by a team from the Lucerne University of Applied Sciences and Arts, and it has been fully trained on the New Testament. All right. AI Jesus. I have to admit, I'd like to try it out just to see, but okay. Okay. Elsewhere in the broken news, domestically, the former treasurer, now former treasurer, of the Durhamville Fire Department in New York State has been arrested after being accused of stealing money. Authorities say Kimberly Simchik took $92,000 from the fire department over a 7-year period, using those funds to gamble at local casinos, buy plane tickets, visit beauty salons, etc., etc., etc. $92,000 over a 7-year period. She was caught. The theft was uncovered when another member of the department went to make a deposit and found out the bank account had been closed because of a negative balance. You got to leave something in the account. I mean, if you go and it's closed because of a negative balance, then that's going to raise a few red flags. Ms. Simchik is due in court next week. Answer to the accusation. left it with a negative balance. Wow. Now, this is kind of crazy. In Castle Rock, Colorado, a school bus driver is accused of abandoning 40 elementary school children on Monday afternoon during the kids' ride home. Students from Clear Sky Elementary were forced to get off the bus at the intersection of two roads. It was not their stop. The bus driver apparently just pulled the bus over and said, "Get out!" And 40 students were left there at the intersection of East Wolfensberger Road and Auburn Drive, which is not where they were supposed to be dropped off. Those children who had phones called their parents, and those that didn't have phones were taken to their homes by Good Samaritans, who happened to be in the area and witnessed the whole scene. The Douglas County School District released a statement saying they have partnered with the local Castle Rock Police Department to investigate the matter. Wow! I mean, I remember when I was little, and you probably can't do this anymore. I mean, it was a different era when I was that age, and the bus driver getting frustrated and saying, "I'm going to pull this bus over and throw y'all off." But I don't think she would ever have done it. This bus driver apparently did. Not good. Not good. And finally, in the broken news this morning, did you hear about this? An ultra-rare, this is amazing, an ultra-rare civil coin from colonial America has brought in more than $2.5 million at auction. The threepence coin was made in 1652, in the year 1652 in Boston, and it is one of only two that have ever been recovered. I don't know how many of them they minted, but there are only two known to still exist. The other one is part of the collection at the Massachusetts Historical Society. So this is the only one out there in private ownership. $2.5 million this went for. A threepence coin from the year 1652, one of the earliest known coins from colonial America. It was found, this is the crazy part, the coin was found, was discovered in 2016, sitting in an old box in the Netherlands, of all places. The coin from colonial America was discovered in a box in the Netherlands. There's got to be just an incredible story about how it got there, you know? I mean, over the course of, 400 years? Nearly 400 years? The history has, and we will never know the entire history of the coin, but that would be an incredible story to tell. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
CASA GAL of Hancock County volunteers make a life-changing difference for children who have experienced abuse or neglect. Every year, dozens of children in our community depend on our volunteers to speak up for their best interests. Learn how you can support CASA GAL of Hancock County today by calling our office at 419-424-7011 or by visiting our website at hancockcountycasa.org.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Thanksgiving is 1 week away. The American Farm Bureau is out with their 39th annual Thanksgiving dinner survey, tracking the cost of feeding a family of 10 this holiday. And good news, the price of your Thanksgiving dinner has actually gone down about 5% this year overall. The AFB bases its report on volunteer shopper information taken between November 1st and November 7th. And according to their data, the cost of a Thanksgiving meal for 10 will set you back $58.08 this year. That is down from $61.17 last year. So here's what they take into account. The price for turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, rolls, peas, cranberries, a veggie tray, and pumpkin pie with whipped cream, enough to serve 10 people. And they say that while most of those items have gone down in price over the past year, including milk, which decreased by more than 14%, things like dinner rolls and cubed stuffing has gone up 8%, cranberries up 12%. If you want to get a little fancier, the Farm Bureau notes that expanding the menu to include ham, potatoes, like mashed potatoes, and frozen green beans will increase the cost of your dinner by $19.26 to $77.34 total. But the Thanksgiving basics, $58.08 this year as compared to $61.17 last year. So it's about 5% less. Good news for those who are doing their shopping and hosting. By the way, speaking of hosting, if you are the host for the Thanksgiving feast this year, there's a fairly decent chance that you may be new at it. A separate study, 2,000 U.S. adults, survey of 2,000 adults commissioned by the Honey Baked Ham Company, finds 42% of Americans are hosting in the upcoming months, 19% of whom have never hosted before, are first-timers. The survey found that 59% of those who host can consider it a tradition for them to host. So they do every year. 19% are newbies, though. And if you are a first-time host, they asked those who have done it before, what does it take to be a good host for Thanksgiving? And 7 in 10, the number one response, 70% say it. You just keep things informal. Keep things light. Don't make it too structured or too formal of an occasion, and you'll be just fine. It has become an annual tradition, and they are back for the 14th annual Turkey Trot Thanksgiving morning to benefit the Women's Resource Center. Joining us from the WRC, Cody Onmeis, and from presenting sponsor Chick-fil-A, Paul Hattie is with us as well. Guys, thanks very much for dropping by. We certainly appreciate it. As we've always said, this is a great way to burn off some of those calories before the big feast. It's sort of a preemptive strike.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes you feel better about going back for that third piece of pie or that third plate, right. And watching football the rest of the day. You're earning it. That's yes. really the end of the day. You're earning it.
And working up that appetite.
Absolutely.
So you have an excuse. You're not just pigging out. You're recovering.
Exactly. It's for a good cause. That's the main reason we do it. But like you said, it's become a tradition for so many families. Yeah. It's been really fun to watch.
So give us all of the details. Again, it's Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah, Thanksgiving morning, 9 o'clock a.m., the race starts. That's the adult race. This is actually the first year we're also doing a tot trot, we're calling it, for the kids. We've had a lot of questions about how kids can be more involved and be more of a family event. And so at 8:30, the kids are going to have a mini race. It's going to be out front of St. Michael's. And then the regularly scheduled program would be at 9 o'clock.
And that's where it all happens at St. Mike's. I mean, that's where you step off, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Should be plenty of parking. There might even be some parking over by Joann's Fabrics if that needs to happen. Okay. But we're already, I mentioned to Chris beforehand, we've already broke the record for number of registrants for this year. We still have a week to go. So we're looking at close to 2,000 registrants this year, which is going to be really, really exciting.
Terrific. Paul, how many years has this been that Chick-fil-A has been involved?
This was actually the first thing we ever sponsored when we started. So we've been doing it since we opened in 2018. So what is that, 6 years?
What makes this such a perfect fit for you?
Yeah, I think we're big on families, right? So the Women's Resource Center is such a great organization taking care of families in need. So we love coming alongside of that. I mean, as a brand, we're very family focused. And so it's just been a natural pairing for us since the beginning.
And let's talk a little bit about that for the benefit of those who are not real familiar. Talk a little bit about what folks are supporting through the Turkey Trot at the Women's Resource Center.
Yeah, it's the name almost, we joke, is almost misleading now because Women's Resource Center, like Paul said, we're so much more focused on families as a whole. Family Resource Center is already taken in town, though. Not that we were going to do a name change, but we really do focus on the families. We say that we are for the families from womb to tomb. So it's those unborn babies. It's the young kids with mothers that are in crucial times, and even the fathers. This year, we've started a fatherhood program. It's brand new, first year, and it's going really well so far. So a lot of guys see Women's Resource Center and just think Resource Center for Women, but we actually have a fatherhood program now where medical, it's been a lot of big upgrades for WRC in the last 1 to 2 years.
So how do folks learn more about the programming and everything that you do, and especially for those who may be interested in or in need of some of those services?
Yeah, absolutely. So Googling WRC, Women's Resource Center, and visiting the website is a great way. Give us a call too. Again, those are things that can be looked up online. But one of the more unique ways that I say is show up to the center. And we've got ladies there, we've got volunteers there that would love to give a tour, to talk your ear off on how you can be involved. And there's no shortage of opportunities to volunteer, I can tell you that much. But come by the center if you're interested. We'll give you a tour. It'll be a lot of fun.
You bring up a good point. Always room for more volunteers, more folks to help out with the mission.
That's right.
And, of course, the Turkey Trot is a great way. How big of a deal is this in terms of the funding to allow you to do what you do?
It's a massive fundraiser. It's something where the event itself, it's not a huge cost, you know, to sign up, but you know, it covers the price of a t-shirt, it covers the price of some other things. We've got some really cool things this year too. Tom's Traveling Tom's coffee truck is going to be there Thanksgiving morning,
right,
along with Katie's Cupcakes out of Forest, Ohio. They're going to be there and have items available for purchase. Again, kind of the guilty thing. You run your 3 miles, you get an iced coffee or a sweet.
It seems like you probably deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. At that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you mentioned, you can still sign up. How do folks do this?
Yes. Visit our Facebook page, visit the website, call the center. There should be links posted in so many different areas. If you have any questions, like I said, call the center. Right now, registration, we're at the point where you're kind of at late registration, right? A week from now the event is, but you still can get a t-shirt, a good opportunity to get a t-shirt if you sign up today.
While they last.
Yep. Yeah. It's while supplies last. But as Paul mentioned, I ordered a few too many. So hopefully we've got quite a bit this year.
Well, we'll try and make it not a few too many.
That's exactly right, Chris.
And those who have registered, I guess what the pickup of the race packets is at Chick-fil-A?
So we're doing packet pickup again this year with that expanded drive-through cockpit. I feel like we're going to conquer it really well. So we'll do early bird pickup starting on Tuesday morning from 6:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. It'll probably be lower volume. So, you know, if you're picking up for a lot of people, that'd be a good time to come in. And then also that official time to come in will be from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesday and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Wednesday. That's where we'll have people from WRC in if you need to register. So we can only do that pre-registration pickup in that early bird window, which is, again, 6:30 to 11 on Tuesday.
And if on Thursday morning, because this is Thanksgiving morning again, if on Thursday morning you wake up and you are suddenly inspired, can you register that day?
Absolutely, Chris. Happens every year. People wait to the last minute because they're looking at that weather, right? They don't want to see rain. They don't want to see cold. And last year, believe it or
maybe
not.
Maybe not anything like what we've got today.
Not like today.
Might be a little.
I'd hate rain. I'd hate snow. I don't want slipping and falling. But if we have a nice, crisp morning, I think we're going to see a lot of people come out that morning as well.
So if folks want to sign up the morning of, what time do folks need to show up?
Yeah, give yourself some wiggle room. Show up, you know, between 8 and 8:30 probably. But to beat the rush a little bit, you can come in, you can sign up morning of at St. Mike's.
And as we kind of alluded to, it's happening regardless of the weather.
It happens regardless of weather. Yeah. That's exactly right.
We're going to be out there. That's a hearty bunch for the Women's Resource Center Turkey Trot, presenting sponsor Chick-fil-A, happening Thanksgiving morning. And again, St. Michael's.
At St. Michael's.
All over the place. Okay. Again, Paul Hattie from Chick-fil-A and Cody Onmes from the Women's Resource Center with us this morning. We have a link up on our webpage for more information as well. Guys, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. For
having us. And with that, we'll finish up our podcast for today. A quick note, there will be no podcast tomorrow. I'm taking an extended weekend gearing up for the big holiday next week. We're talking about things that we're thankful for and paying it forward. Plus, a couple of weeks ago, we got the winter forecast from the Old Farmer's Almanac. Now, WTOL 11 Chief Meteorologist Chris Vickers shares his outlook for the season. We'll see how they compare. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.